Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report, a massive one. Plenty of cricket to talk about. We've got a fantastic special guest, one of Australia's greatest. But joining me as co-host, as always, is the captain of the Victorian cricket team. He's the boom recruit down to the Hobart Hurricanes, a teenage superstar tennis player, Petey Hanscom. How's it been getting back into Melbourne life?
Oh, unbelievable, Flynn. Unbelievable. I think we've timed it just nicely, getting out of the Adelaide hub and getting back into Melbourne when Melbourne is just opening itself up again. So if we could have timed it, we haven't. We've done it well.
I like how comfortable you've become with the budding tennis superstar too. You're just going with that, aren't you?
I was trying to skip over that, mate. I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up. But yeah, I mean, I played in tournaments with Bernard Tomic and, it wasn't too bad.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, this bloke, you're good mates with our special guest today, and he was also an elite junior sportsman in another field. But starting off, what a legend, a Victorian legend, Australian legend, that big heart charging in over after over, accurate, bouncy, over 200 test wickets, and not many Australians can say that. Also, Pete, a real hero around all cricket grounds in Australia, but more in particular MCG, and continue on that lovely tradition of, Max Walker, Mervyn Hughes, heroes down at Bay 13, but also, as I said, a multi-skilled junior champion, this time in wood chopping, of course. It's Petey Siddle. Sidsy, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, boys. Thank you. Yeah, looking forward to it. Excited to be on.
Hey, mate, before we get into it, what sort of axe did you go for? Was it the Fiskar 378501, S-Wing 14-inch Sportsman, or even the Gransford Butcher? What was your preferred weapon with wood chopping?
Mate, I was a youngster back then, so I was that small, and it was pretty much just a standard tomahawk back then. Yeah, there wasn't much size to it. I think I was a little kid, followed Dad around, watched him and the uncles, compete at the shows around the country and the Melbourne show and that Sydney show, all those type of things. And I thought that's what I want to do. I did it for about a year or two when I was sort of 10, 11, started getting into football and cricket, decided to want to keep my big toes on my body. So I flicked the axe and concentrated on the real sports.
Did you get on? Did you get onto the chainsaw at all, mate? Or is that they have a smaller version of the chainsaw for the youngsters?
No, they do have small, obviously, chainsaws, which you boys would know. But pretty much, when you're a youngster, you stood on top of the log and that the underhand, as they call it, and that's all I did. So there wasn't much to it, other than Dad got me on the chainsaw when he wanted to go get some firewood. That was about it.
That's fantastic. Hey, we're going to go everywhere, obviously talk about what's going in the cricket world, but also your career, Sidsy. But, COVID, the move down to Tasmania for Shield cricket, the first thing that hit me was your haircut. I thought it was Billy Idol that just transferred down to Hobart. What was the motivation behind that?
Oh, just some of my ex-great players, that I grew up idolising when I was younger. And just watching them as they grew and got older, the style of hair that they had, and the colour that it went, I think so. Yeah, I just decided I wanted to look a little bit like you, and I thought I'd just give it a little rinse and see how I go. And I think I got pretty close to looking like you now.
I tell you what, a quick little story on that. You know, Rodney Hogg, another great fast bowler for Victoria, South Australia, I was watching, you know, World Series Classics on Fox, you know, particularly during the pandemic. I was watching a heap of them. And so
when you were playing?
No, this is old, this is retro.
Oh, 80s, okay, yeah.
80s, not far off. And Sir Richard Hadlee hit him in the head, in the ear, and Rob Marsh gets him off. But he's got this bright yellow, well, he's not wearing a helmet, and he's got bright yellow hair. And I text him, what's no helmet? And he goes, I just had my hair dyed that day, and there was no way I wasn't going to get it on national TV. And he got filled in.
Is
that why you don't bowl with a hat or don't feel with a hat anymore, Diddy? You just got to get the hair out there, mate.
Correct. I think that's the COVID's been the best for that. The umpires don't want to hold your hat anymore, so the easiest way is just not to wear one. So just leave it on the boundary line, get the hair out, and it's perfect to show off. But I definitely won't be going with the Hoggy. They're far too fast to wear no helmet these days.
And since first off, you know, how was it going towards a new group? I mean, you've had such a great career, but you still want to gain their respect, and obviously you're there in a leadership capacity as well. How did you find the initial training sessions with the Tassie boys?
Yeah, I felt like a young kid again, getting this, you know, or you, when you get that rookie deal and you rock up to a new group. It's obviously I knew a couple of the older guys that I grew up with, Payne. Obviously, same age, played all junior stuff through, and then spent a lot of time with Wadey at Victoria when he was there. So I had a good relationship with those two, but the rest, to be fair, are all pretty much under 25 and pretty young. So, I felt like a young kid, but, yeah, exciting as well, like you said, to go down there and work in a sort of leadership role and try and help those young kids develop and see how I go. So a bit daunting at the start, but, I loved it, just getting in and around a new group.
How was the reception, Diddy? Because I've played in games with you and you're not shy of telling the opposition what you think of them. And the opposition at times, obviously, was Tassie. So a few of those boys have got a few choice words from us. So how was that received? Water under the bridge or still a little bit dicey?
Nah, I think a little bit, yeah. I think they were a bit intimidated, a bit unsure of how it was going to be as a teammate. But I think they came to realise pretty quick that it's just me on the field and off the field. I'm pretty relaxed and just want to have a good time, as you know, Pete, and just help out the group as much as I can. There was definitely a few lads there who were a bit unsure and had definitely heard rumours about how it abused some of their mates or some of the past players and stuff like that. So, it was a little bit interesting in that front, but it's a little bit easier these days with all the movement that does go on, you know, county cricket, big bash and all the moving around, that you tended to play with enough players to be a bit more comfortable. But, there's still a few uncomfortable boys at different times that I had sprayed in the past.
I just wanted to jump into the actual fast bowling cartel down there. I mean, fantastic to have you and Jackson Bird. You know, Birdie's probably been as good a state bowler as we've had in the last decade. But with Meredith and Bell and Rogers and co, can you talk us a little bit about that emerging fast bowling cartel there in Tassie?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think, just quickly on the part of my move was to get away and gain coaching experience with the coaches down there. But then to also work with the young bowling lineup. They've got a lot of young fast bowlers. Yeah. So like you said, Riley Meredith, obviously young, fast, just charges in. Gabe Bell's got a superb record, bit of a similar to you, but a bit of a swing bowler, seams it around a little bit, and looks a little bit like you when he bowls. So that's nice to see. But
the long hair.
I wouldn't mind seeing Flem with the man bun back in the day. It would have looked quite sexy.
He rocked it.
But I think, it's the most exciting one is, you know, is Nathan Ellis. I think everyone got to witness him and see him firsthand last year in the Big Bash. Broke onto the scene. He just has a crack, 100% every game, every effort. And I love that. That's what my career's been made on, is just, you know, just trying to give you all, not the most skillful, but just have a crack. And he's a young kid that moved down, no contract. And off he went, and he's now he's in the first team and playing well.
And so just on, Alice, do you see a little bit of yourself in him, a young Peter Siddle?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I think he just wants to learn and he just gives it everything. He just, yeah, has a decent crack. He charges in all day, bounces, whatever, and just tries to bowl fast. And that's exactly all I did when I was a young kid. I had no skills. I could just run in and bowl fast, and that's what I did. So to see him and just be able to work with him, he's like a sponge. He listens. He's got good questions, and he's been good for me as well, just with my cricket. Just to see him enjoying it, it makes it easier for me as an old bloke to, yeah, just want to go out and play alongside him.
Yeah, Diddy, that's great. And you got the youngsters. I know, you know, as a Victorian, I was shattered that you went down to Tassie with our young cartel, and how much, you know, they would have thrived being able to talk to you and just grow. But in terms of the coaching, is this something that you see yourself going into later and sort of, I know you're doing a little bit now with the Tassie, but are there other things that you're going to do or need to do in the next couple of years to sort of push that coaching career?
Yeah, I think so. I never really knew what I wanted to do, and I think it's like probably 75% of blokes coming out at the back end of their career not knowing what to do, and I didn't want to get to the end and go, okay, I'm done with cricket. Oh, no, what am I going to do now? So, yeah, this opportunity obviously came up where in the next couple of years, whilst I'm still playing, I can sort of develop my coaching, see if I enjoy it along the way and sort of get a feel for if it is something I want to do afterwards. And like you said, I love working with the young guys and just seeing them develop. I've said it a lot that this move, people probably said, why are you going down there? You're taking some young kid's spot, rah, rah. But at the end of the day, all I want to do, I'd be so happy next year if I didn't get picked because some young kid has taken my spot. Like, that's the ideal scenario, is that I can help these kids develop. Next year, I don't even play a game. And, like, I'd be pretty happy with what I've done and what I've achieved in the move. So, yeah, hopefully that's the plan. And, at the moment I'm enjoying working with a new bunch of guys, and I think that's what I need to explore by making the move is, as much as I love the boys at Victoria, for my coaching, I believed I need to get to a new group and see guys I've never worked with. And I'm definitely seeing some benefits already working with these young guys and just the group that is down in Tassie.
Sid's, just one last one on some potential cricks down there. One little X factor is Big Bo Webster. You know, every time you see someone 200 centimetres and they bowl spin, you're going, oh, what? We could have lost this, but he's bowling some medium pace. I'd assume that he'd be like a sponge at the moment, not sure what he's got. But is there a little bit of a future there for him?
Yeah, I think there is. It's just, and it's probably to do with his height. I think, you know, seeing the benefit now, it doesn't matter what pace you bowl at. Sometimes that extra height just gives them that bounce. And he probably saw it a few times through the shield in the first few games that the wickets he got were dead sort of tracks at a weird time scenario in the game. And he gets a wicket, like a quarter gully or something like that, when the ball looks like it's never going to go there. So, there's potential. And he's developed a lot. It's only been the last probably 3 months where he's really got into it. But you could see during Adelaide that, yeah, it's exciting and he just loves doing it. He just loves running in and bowling mediums more than the spin now. So pretty handy and he's a bit excited for the Big Bash. I think he wants to unleash some of those medium paces in the Big Bash and he's been working on his Yorkers in the pre-season, so he wants to unleash a few of them.
Do you reckon he's...
BBL super coach, boys. I reckon Bo, you know, he had a great summer last year, didn't he, with the bat. He's good in the field, but maybe some wickets there, Petey.
Yeah, well, I was thinking maybe he could be if it's a left-hand, right-hand combination, maybe bowl off-spin to the left-hander and then bowl seam up to the right-hander. Mate, double threat, triple threat with the with his batting. So, yeah, I'm excited.
That's right. He pulled that off in a game, the game against Tassie, when they were batting out the draw on day four. He was bowling off spin to Heady into the rough, and then the right hander Scott, I think it was facing up, and he'd go to his medium pace. So he was doing the funky Miller. So he's got a little bit of everything. So
yeah,
maybe not, in the Big Bash.
Maybe dye his hair blue, Pete. You're going white. Get him into blue. Now we've got a little segment on this show, Pete. We weren't sure what to title it, and we've settled on, and it's massive, it'll blow your mind. It's Pete's Newsweek.
Brilliant.
Oh.
Brilliant, Flem. Like that one, did it?
There was a bit of an underwhelming look from Pete there, but sorry, Pete S.
Yeah. I think since you were waiting for the rest of the name there, like
yeah, I was waiting for the punchline at the end. Just got there. I think we must have been lost in communication or something. I don't know.
No, we like to keep it simple here. The biology, you know, don't want to confuse too many people, mate. But yes, going around the world with a little bit of news. And funnily enough, gonna go over to the PSL, the Pakistan Super League, which from out of nowhere has come back in just for its final series. Obviously, it stopped earlier on in the year due to COVID and having to pull those restrictions. But they came back in just for the finals, and Lahore Qalandars. Now, that's thrown me because it starts with a Q, but there's no U afterwards, so I'm not actually sure how to pronounce that.
Might be a K, but
yeah. And then and they played the Karachi Kings, who got the chocolates overall, chasing down 134 runs in 18.4 overs. But the big talking point, we've spoken about him before, Flem, player of the match, player of the tournament, 473 runs at an average of just under 60. Bubba Azam, he's so good.
The average 60 over the whole tournament, and he's funny too, boys. He's not a big his strike rating 50 over cricket T20 is really good. He doesn't need a lot of sixes though. He only hit 5 for the tournament, but still a healthy strike rate. I just think he's just going to keep emerging and merging into that top 5, top 3 in the world.
Mm.
Definitely. I agree. He's no dissimilar to what Kane Williamson does in the IPL. That's exactly like he's not a big hitter, not a big striker. And then you flick on the IPL or check out some scores and he's always up there with, you know, 54 off 35 balls. And you're like, he doesn't have to hit sixes, just good placement and good cricket. And they're actually exciting to watch some of those guys in T20 cricket sometimes. And no dissimilar to how you play, Petey, as well. You can find the gaps, you find the boundaries. That's nearly more enjoyable to watch sometimes than the blokes just hitting a couple of sixes and then getting out.
Beauty. I'll get you that. I'll pass you that cash a bit later for that, mate. the one thing that I really enjoyed, we did have an Aussie over there, and he's done some serious quarantining this year with Ben Dunk. Unfortunately, runners up with Lahore, but and only 11 off 14 in the final. But what I loved is that we got to see him bat with no helmet on. And I'm telling you, boys, it's the look for him. If he can bring that out in the Big Bash, spinner on, helmet off, get that globe shining in the lights, I think that's going to bring the fans back.
It's distracting too for the bowler. Mm. You know,
that's what I was going to say. I reckon if I'm bowling, I'm probably going to have to call for the sunnies.
Yes.
And put the sunnies on just to bowl to him because it is a shiny melon. And definitely going to be some glare coming off that.
And he's gone rogue before, hasn't he, Dunkey? He's gone rogue before. He kept in a floppy with short sleeves. So this is a man that looks at tradition and fashion and goes, no, I'm going to go the other way.
Mm. Well, he's never really had a good fashion sense, no. So he probably thought he looked good, to be fair. I'm pretty sure the wide brim even had had one of the jawstrings, you know, that you pull up to your chin. So I'm excited to see what he's going to bring out in the Big Bash this year.
Well, hopefully he can bring that form, isn't it? He's just had a bit of a nightmare the last couple of years, Dunkey, but then he keeps going over to the PSL and dominating. So hopefully it's just a bit of a form thing. And the other thing, I hope I'm not preempting what you're going to say, obviously there was a nice little honour to Dean Jones. You know, Dino passed away and he'd moved PSL teams. I think he went from Islamabad to Karachi. So, well done to all the players there, you know, to obviously remember Dino. And he obviously had a big, big impact in the subcontinent, including Pakistan.
Yeah, no, that was lovely to see, Flynn. Really well done by them. Staying over in the subcontinent, though, we go from one final to the other, and the IPL was played 1-2 overall. Ended up Delhi Capitals lost to Mumbai Indians. Mumbai chasing 156 in 18.4 overs. And it's fitting, Flem, that we've got a fast bowler on today because you and I, well, especially myself, was very wrong with my prediction at the start of the tournament, thinking that spinners were going to dominate towards the back end with used wickets. But turns out we were wrong. And Trent Bolt for the Mumbai Indians with that new ball, insanely dangerous, and probably bowled the seed of doom to Stoin in the first over.
Yeah, I was interested, Sid. I don't know how much you're following it or watching it. It came in at quite a good time. Mumbai blew Delhi in the semi, just blew them out. And obviously our great mate Ricky Ponting's coaching them. I feel like his philosophy in the final was Mumbai played their perfect game in the semi. They can't play as good as that, and we've got room for improvement. Stoin had an amazing tournament, didn't he? Like, just fitting gaps and to open him up. But Bolt and also Bumrah, I think, set the tone in the semi and the final, and it was great to see.
Yeah, it was. I think that's the exciting thing is it doesn't last, the swing doesn't last long in the T20 games, but if you have someone that is a great exponent of swing bowling, and that's Trent Bolt, that it makes a massive difference. And I know there was different stages throughout that whole tournament. He copped a little bit of a stick early on, but when he got it right, he destroyed teams. And then you have Jasprit coming on after him. Then you had the rotation of Paddo and Coults rotating in and out in the other games. They just had genuine wicket takers all the way through, and the wickets sort of suited them. When they did die out and sort of favour spin a little bit, they just changed the pace on it, rolled the fingers, and just stayed aggressive. And yeah, the fast bowlers in the end probably dominated a lot of the wicket takers at the back end.
Yep, Rabada and co. So it sort of went against the trend, and I think you were still right predicting that they would dry up a bit and turn, Pete, but you're wrong.
Oh, I was wrong. And the top
three. See how I divorced myself from that?
I tried to include us, Flem, so I didn't go down by myself, but you've just thrown me straight under the bus, mate, so I appreciate that. but to go along with that, the four top wicket takers were all quicks, and you've mentioned three of them with being the fourth with 22 wickets. So bloody impressive. And obviously, yeah, Coults, Sid, you mentioned there, Coults and Paddo for Mumbai just subbing in and out. Seemed like whenever whichever one played, they just get 2 for 29, do their job, 2 for 29, walk off. Like, it was no fuss, just able to play that role.
Do you reckon that's great list management, Sids, isn't it? To be able to rotate, like most teams are battling for that third gun quick, and they had three or four.
No, they did, and I think Paddo getting that, Paddo, and people probably forget this, he replaced Malinga. So they lost one of the best T20 bowlers, if not the best ever, a fast bowler anyway, and they've replaced him with Paddo, and people were unsure what's going on and how that'll work. And then Paddo, to do what he did, was outstanding. And then exactly right. If they needed a little bit of change up, or they felt that they needed a little bit of a difference in some way, bring in Coults. And to be able to rotate those two through, like you said, Petey, they did just get the job done. It was actually a superb little backup to lose one of the best bowlers ever and have those two on the sidelines. Great depth. And, yeah, in the end, it paid off for them.
Happy little payday for them. Moving on, we're coming back to Oz, but staying with the T20s, we're going to the WBBL. With 12 games now played in the season, only two rounds remaining. Flem, I reckon you'll have a pretty big smile here because the Stars for the first time are on top and qualified for the finals already.
Yeah, call it off now.
Yeah.
Meg, I'm working with Meg on the victory speech, so just give it to us. But no, I'm worried.
I was going to say, Flem, it hasn't been the Stars' Stars' history to get too cocky and celebrate the finals. If it's anything to go by the men,
ooh, yeah,
you might just have to cool the Jets a little bit, I think.
I think I'm seeing 20 losing finals already. And don't get me started with the Vicks. At the start of your career, since those 50-over finals we used to lose. But
I won 1 out of 9.
It was horrible. But the Sydney team's a real threat. And just Brisbane Heat, what worries me as a Stars fan there is, you know, they're going for their third in a row. They know how to win.
Mm.
So they're not going to be
threatened. But the Stars, mate, the Stars have got Meg back, so that's huge. And they've got the teenage sensation, Annabelle Sutherland, mate. And we've spoken about it before on here, and we know what she can do. And unfortunately for my Hobart Hurricanes, my poor team, she absolutely took them down the other day with 72 off 51. And if you're getting that kind of support from a teenager, and your inexperienced players, it is amazing what I think this Stars girls, Stars women's team is going to do.
Well, the amazing thing is Annabelle can't get a bat.
Mm.
That was her opportunity, and gee, she made the most of it. You know, they've got such a strong batting lineup, but I think Annabelle is such a power athlete. You know, we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg. You know, she's going to take, I think, power hitting in the Bash and internationally, potentially to a level we've never seen before.
Yeah, Sids, have you seen her swing? You seen how clean she hits the ball?
Yeah, I remember last year seeing her just hit some balls in the indoor, doing some batting practice, and she just absolutely smacks it.
Mm.
And it is exciting to see because, you know, like I'm still Victorian at heart, and I still love seeing Victorians do well. And watching her play, I obviously love watching her brother play. But yeah, seeing her kill it as well in her field with the women is quite outstanding. But not just with the bat, like once she grows up, learns a bit more about fast bowling and stuff like that. Someone that can, you know, you could be. Don't want to say it too early, but we've been blessed to have Elise Perry for Australia. That she could easily become just as good, if not, you know, better. We don't know as her, so it's pretty exciting.
I love the superlatives we're using to describe Annabelle and Will, because I played with the father James, and there wasn't a lot of superlatives. Like he was a good steady cricketer, you know, bowled a good line and length. Had a boring forward defence, was handy in the fit. There was nothing dynamic, nothing.
Yeah, it was slightly different by the sounds of it with the two kids. And I just got a note here that I reckon out of the three of us, if we went to a driving range with Annabelle, she's going to outdrive us by a long, long way with that clean and pure swing, which is, it's just nice to see. And Sids, I'll get Will to give you Annabelle's number. Maybe you can start giving her some tips with the ball, get her firing for a couple of years down the track.
That's right. We keep working on those in swingers, and she'll be good to go. Don't worry about that.
Exactly right, mate.
Hey, Pete, just on that, you know, we're talking about the power that we might not have seen before. It's not just about that. It's about the we're talking about the 360 players in BBL, but this Phoebe Litchfield, I don't know if you saw her three reverse sweeps in the last game, but the one that impressed me was they were all different sort of lines. I know the length was about the same, but, you know, so we've got power in the game, but we're also getting 360-degree players. Like, she's only 16, 17, so... you know, for the bowlers going forward in the WBBL, they're going to have to keep increasing their skills, Sids. They're going to have to upskill equally as much as the batters.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's been the most exciting thing It's only been the last couple of years I've played a lot of Big Bash, but over from the very start of Big Bash, when we thought bowlers were going, it was going to be a waste of time and the batters were going to destroy it, it has evened out over the years. And I think that's the fun part as a bowler, is just developing new skills, working out new ways to restrict these batsmen and the skill set that they have. So that's even more fun. T20 is fun enough, but the fun in, you know, trialing new skills and working out new balls or how to bowl to certain batsmen, it makes it exciting because, yes, players like Phoebe, they're dangerous, but it's just as much fun for me trying to work out, you know, like these girls will be trying to work out how to bowl to her. I enjoy those things, bowling to different players like Pete, Maxi, Stoin, three totally different players, and you have to have three different ways and mindsets how to bowl to them, and that's the way the game's going. It's just growing. Just
on that, Sids, how do you bowl to me? What's your plan?
I don't know. You keep making runs against us at the end, so I just make sure I restrict the other blokes first, and then I don't have problem. So. I'll just bring Rash on and you and him can have a battle. That'll do.
Sidsy, you probably led me into it. I was going to do it later on when, you know, we had a look at your later career for Australia, but we might do it now, Pete, is that, you know, yeah, with your wonderful test career, I'm sure you don't look back with any regrets at all and you know, 67 test matches, 221 wickets. But I remember talking to you mid-career, you know, white ball cricket, 20 one day internationals, two T20s. You know, the encouragement for you was to be a red ball cricketer. And the beauty of that is at least you know you're going to be front and centre of test match cricket. But, you know, frustrating not to be part of World Cups. But just a couple of comments on that. But then also, what about the rejuvenation of when you went to the Adelaide Strikers? Because for me, it looked like you upskilled to have real impact at BBL. Were you working on that silently, or when you hit there, you knew you needed to up, you know, get your Yorker a bit better in those slow balls and be a death bowler?
Firstly, yeah, it is disappointing. You always want to play in World Cups and stuff like that. I was part of the first T20 World Cup, didn't play on the sidelines there. But, yeah, that was my choice. So I'm a traditionalist at heart, love red ball. So I chose, a long time ago that I wanted to concentrate on test cricket and play as much as I could there. So it hindered my chances of representing Australia at those different times. But I don't regret that at all, to play 67 tests when I would have been happy with 10, you know. So to get to what I did and achieve, I'm very happy. And, yeah, always loved white ball. But I knew that I wanted to concentrate on one. So my choice in the end. But, Big Bash has always been something I wanted to be a part of. It was probably not until I made that move to Adelaide where I got the opportunity to actually play more of it. I think previously before that, there was a lot of test cricket. You know, I'd miss games. I wasn't really available the first 6 years or whatever it was. I only played about six games. So, to go over there and, the big thing for me is whatever team I play for, doesn't matter who it is, club cricket all the way to England, Australia, wherever it is, I just want to win and I want to do well for my team. So at the end of the day, if I want my team to win, I've got to make sure that I'm ready and prepared. And, I just made sure that I worked on every little aspect that I needed to. Once I got over to Adelaide, perfected a couple of slow balls. I don't have heaps. I just needed to perfect a couple that I knew I could bowl and trusted myself in bowling. And I've just stuck with a pretty simple philosophy, really, based on what I did in red ball cricket was all based on execution. And that's how I try and do my white ball stuff. I don't have a lot of tricks. I just try and do the few things that I know I can do really well, make sure that I execute them close enough to 100%. And then sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. That's a part of T20, but that's pretty much my very simple philosophy in T20 cricket these days.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it, I think. And the way you're owning, three things, four things maybe that you got, and then make them as good as you can. And sort of, I reckon that drags everything else along with it as well. It makes your other balls that maybe aren't your strength, but it makes them better because they know that, or batters know that they're the ones you've got to try and score off. Mate, if you bowl a Yorker or a slow ball, it's bloody hard to hit. So, yeah, I reckon it brings that all along as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you found that. I think the ones that I've probably had the most success with is they can't get the Yorker out, so they're sweating on the bad ball. And your bad ball does get the wicket. It'd be a low full toss or a slow ball going wrong that you've tried, and you get the wicket. But I think by just being able to try and execute as well as you can, and just keeping things simple, I think there's so many people talk about a lot of different balls and a lot of different deliveries and skills that they have in T20 cricket, that a lot of guys get lost with what they actually want to achieve from each ball. And I'll keep it simple. It's worked so far. This year it could go horribly wrong and I'll have a shocker, but we'll see how it goes.
Pete Siddle, last delivery to Yorker on the pads, and it's a win for the Strikers and a big win at that.
Let's get on to BBL. And I'm interested to see what you got here, Sid, but we'll start just with a couple of signings. And I'm glad he got my message, because he's not great on his phone when I've tried to call or text him before. But Sandeep Lanashane to the Kane train. Come on. Great work, big fella. So that was great. Good to see him in purple. And then obviously Stars were missing, a little bit of a mystery spinner there. They've obviously got some good spinners in their team. But they've gone and picked up Zahir Khan from Afghanistan and obviously played with the Brisbane Heat. And what excites me about him is his dance moves. I've always been a big fan of dancing, more off the field than on the field, but he really brings a passion to it. So I'm excited to see, what he's going to bring out in the Stars.
Well, Pete, you were one of the great appealers. I think of Dennis Silly and you, the shaking arms, the pleading there. So you'd be a big rat for bowlers that had extravagant at appeals and the celebrations.
Yeah, I do. I love it. I think that makes it exciting, doesn't it? I think, the Hurricanes are probably going to miss young Cass, who used to do the flips and stuff.
Yeah.
So you might have to, Peter, you might have to put a bit of pressure on Sandeep to maybe bring those back down at the Canes. But talking about celebration and dancing, we've got a batter on here that loves a dance, as we know. So maybe there could be a 50, 100 celebration and a little dance move. Maybe, because 50s could be quite regular for you, Petey, down at Blundstone. It's a nice batting surface. So we want maybe 100. If Petey gets 100 this year, maybe there's a dance move that he could pull out for us.
If I get a T20 100 this year, I will dance.
There we go.
You heard it here first. I'll bring something out. I'll have a look at a few of the TikTok dances going around at the moment or something like that, and we'll crank it up.
Yeah.
Maybe even some of those, the Fortnite game that all the young kids play. There's a few Fortnite dances there, Petey, that you might be able to...
flossing maybe.
Yeah, you pull out some of those ones. I think that'd be quite impressive.
Because it's all about preparation. If you get the 100, do no prep and try something. We know it's not going to go. It's not going to end well. And people will forget about your 100. Do a little bit of that TikToking. If you prep that, one is it's positive reinforcement, but you'll get there and you will nail it.
Righto. Thanks, boys. And thanks for backing me in for 100 as well. That's brilliant. But with the BBL, Sid's, three new rules being brought in this year in a game that already has a heap of rules. And it's I get that confused when I roll out to battlefield or if I ever have to captain a team. But I don't mind these. I reckon they're going to be interesting. We're starting off with the Power Surge. Great names as well, by the way, they've called them.
I will go with four the, name, the names are better than the rules even. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's the good call.
But keep going. Sorry, Pete.
Fan engagement, mate. Four overs power play and then two more overs of a power play chosen at some stage by the batters. Do you reckon that's a positive for the bowlers or the batting team, Sid?
Well, someone that usually bowls two overs in the first six, it might mean that I only have to sneak out one when the field's out. So it could possibly be a positive, unless, it works out that they save me then for those other two overs. So, but then that gets too close to the two at the back end. So I'm hoping that maybe it might only mean I'm bowling one with the two fielders out at the start. So it could be a positive. But I think, yeah, it could be exciting. It could be different.
It does.
Like you said, we have a lot of fans coming into the game that don't know cricket that well. So to add even more rules and stuff, that's the only thing I think could be a little bit complicating for a new spectator. But
I think we're all there with those. You know, the bringing in the rules, you've got to explain even more. And we haven't had any trials for it either. But as a commentator, it gives you more to talk about. And obviously, just tactically, what you said there. My only problem with, we tried it in 50-over cricket and you think, oh, well, then, there's two more exciting overs to wait for. But what happens is the fifth and sixth over get boring.
Or even most teams ended up just taking the power play
consecutively.
Straight after the first power play. So just because like ball was new, so it was easier to get over the field, make more runs, make the most of it there. Probably got two set batters in. So it'll be interesting to see if there are any tactics that come out of it. But I don't think that one's going to change the game too much. But we've gone from the power surge to the bash boost. Which is this one's an interesting one, and it's got me split because there's 4 points up for grabs, 3 points if you win the game, and one more point if you're winning after the 10 overs when the second side has their 10. Now that's just runs. So the side batting first could be none for 60 after their 10. And make 180 or whatever and absolutely cash in. But the side batting second could be 6 for 61, get that point, and then absolutely capitulate and lose the game. Well, I'm not sure how this one's going to go down, if people are going to fight for that point or not.
I like, this will go into the next one too. I like unpredictableness because if you bring in rules that are like strictly at the 10th over and things like that, teams get too clever. They're well coached and well played. I've always liked the traditional bonus point that you guys played in years ago. You know, if you're chasing 200 and you get it in the 40th over, bang, you get your 1 point. If you bowl them out in the 40th over, bang, you get a bonus point. So even though you're winning the game, you keep going hard to win there. And I reckon 10 or 20% of the time, I did see teams get the reverse win. It's only, as I said, most 20%, but I just think it's too, it's almost too regulated, new rule. It's too predictable.
Yeah, that's right, Flem. You could nearly just do it like at the 15-over mark. If you could win in 15 overs, then you get the bonus point as the batting team if you're chasing. But on the flip side of that, if you get bowled out, trying to chase that down, the bowling team get it, could be a little bit different. But
My worry with that scenario you said, Pete, was that the game's dead after 10.1 overs.
Yeah, because the side batting second may have given up on the game, so they go, stuff it, we'll just try and get the 1 point, don't worry about wickets, and then it's done.
Yeah, whereas I think the rules Cricket Australia are trying to do is, almost try and even it up as much as possible or manipulate close games. So I don't mind the philosophy of this bonus point, but I think I like the one that was previously in there. Not in Big Bash, but in 50-over cricket.
Yeah, 50,
because I think it promotes continual attacking.
Yep, spot on. And then bang on the 10 overs again. The next one, the X factor. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. But after the first 10 overs of the first innings, you are allowed to sub out a player for another player as long as the one you are subbing out hasn't batted or has only bowled one over.
You're doing well here, Pete.
Yeah, thanks. I wrote it all down here word for word, so I shouldn't stuff it up. But this one, we've sort of trialled this before a little bit with a super sub in domestic cricket.
Yeah.
And you know, it does bring an element into the game. And I guess, you know, teams could potentially go in with one game plan, see that it's not quite working, and then try and change it after the first turnovers. And even just depending on the toss as well.
Mm.
But yeah, I think this one's probably got the most margin for being being different and spontaneous and sort of changing the game that way.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's yeah. Does it work if say you bat first, Petey, and yep. only four of you guys bat, even though your team's batted? If number five hasn't gone out in the field, can he then be subbed for a bowler because he hasn't taken part in the game?
You got to do it after the 10 over mark.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Not, yeah.
So there's a bit of guesswork still, isn't there?
Yeah. So if you're none down at the 10 in there and you go, okay, we're maybe not going to lose, we can bank on, we're going okay with runs.
Yeah.
Let's sub out the number six who's a batter.
Yep.
And we'll bring in an extra bowler that maybe an extra spinner just to change things up. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So it could work either way. I think that's what makes it so exciting is that it could actually help you and it could actually hurt you as well. So I think that's the gamble that's probably going to make it so exciting.
So my change on that, sorry, Pete, would be, once again, it's too predictable for me. We know it's the 10th over, blah, blah, blah. You can do it at any stage between the 5th and the 15th, because then the opposition can't, tactically plan against it. So I want unpredictable stuff.
Yeah, keep people guessing, because you do see that, Flem. You see, like, there's enough footage these days, there's enough analysis that you see a team play a couple of times and you're kind of like, all right, this is their game plan. This is kind of how they set up. Such and such is going to bowl this over from this end with this field. You're right. It is a bit predictable, but if we can bring in that, that's something different, keep people guessing and really.
So just floating.
You know,
there's continual tactics. I know commentary.
Hmm.
Instead of it, we just know every game in the 9th over, we'll be starting to talk about what will happen. But what happens if we were just generally surprised? Oh, they've done this. So you're actually talking about in real time. Wow, this is thrown, and just seeing how the opposition react. And the other thing is what you just mentioned there. Well, why can't we name the teams after the toss if we're just going totally different in BBL cricket?
Gee, that'd be rogue. I like that.
Yeah.
Just surprise. Just rock out. You rock out there to bat, face the first ball, and you're like, right, who's up? What's going on here?
I'm walking out of the ball thinking, yep, okay, who's walking out with the pads on? Yep, okay. Yep. Boys, this is what we're going with.
Yeah, we'll all be hiding down in the change rooms until we get the call to come out in the field, because we don't want to let them know who's batting.
No, the 10-9-8, they're waiting for that, and then two blokes come running out at the 5-second mark to work out who it is.
Or you walk out, grab the ball, and then he just continues to walk off the field. It's a bluff. He's not even playing.
He's just going to the other side of the ground with a water bottle.
Oh, he's giving it the bluff. Yeah, beautiful.
But just on that, sorry, you've got to name the team straight after the toss. So
once
you get on the field. But I think if we're going to keep breaking traditions, well, doesn't, you know, and that could really help with your subbing later on.
Yeah, like that, Flem.
Thanks.
To wrap it up, Flem, to wrap up my news week, don't know if you saw, but on social media, JL and the Don have shared a couple of letters to each other, and it's been an interesting read. The Don had a nice little humble brag about just having more natural ability than anyone else, and that's fine. He did. That's why he was pretty bloody good.
Yep.
But on a serious note, I did want to kind of leave it with this little nugget from him, and it was right at the end of his and you're laughing, but it's not that funny. but it was just follow your own instincts and don't be a slave to coaching. And I thought, out of his whole letter, I thought that was the takeaway. You know, really back yourself in. You know your body better than anyone else. You know the way you move. You know what you want to do. You've got those coaches there to kind of guide you, But you don't necessarily have to do everything they say. It's all, you know, you drive yourself. And I thought that might resonate as well with you a bit, Diddy.
Yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, it is. That was the most interesting thing is you never really, we all know of the Don, but you never get the chance to read things like that or see something. So it was actually nice to see that pop up. And you're right, that is the thing. Over the years, Flem, you'd remember you have a million different coaches from a young kid to when you finish your career. Everyone has a little bit of gold along the way. But like you said, Petey, you know your body your best. You know what's working, what's not working. We're always our best critic. Trial everything and you'll along the way you'll find what works and that's definitely right.
That's where I went wrong. I think I was a slave to my instincts and I backed my coaches. I got it in reverse, lads. And on a serious note, I totally agree with you too. I truly believe, particularly once you've made first-class cricket, you are the CEO of your game. You are the chief executive officer, right? So you run it. But you don't have to be an expert in everything. So what do businesses do? They outsource. So you outsource, you know, physio or strength and conditioning or batting or strengthening your mind with sports psychs. But you need to be in control. Because when you're in control, that's linked to confidence. And I think that's the key to performance.
Spot on.
So if you want to write me a letter, I'll...
Yeah. We'll put that on the socials, mate.
Hey, Sidsy, thanks so much for coming on our pod. You've been awesome. Just finishing up, and Pete, you might have one more question here, but, you know, a very passionate North Melbourne supporter you are, Pete. I questioned years ago that it just so happened that your test captain was North Melbourne. I just thought that, did you change late in your career? But you must be pleased with the way they're going.
Yeah, it's going great. It's been a tough couple of years, but... you know, that's football. That's what happens, isn't it? I had a great childhood supporting them in the 90s. Around the same time, I was watching you flourish in your career as well, mate. It's been tough. But hopefully, you know, now I'm down in Tassie. There's word that they could end up down there. Yeah. So it might be close to home. So
have you been sent by the AFL down there to just start to get North Melbourne down there? Are you part of that planning?
Well, it could be a bit of it, yeah. I've just been sort of sourcing land, working out about training facilities and venues.
I think I saw you riding around Salamanca there with your North Melbourne top on, just a bit of like free promotion there.
Yeah, there was. I was pretty much, I have a little flag coming off my back with the Kangaroos, the membership hotline, number to call. Where to buy tickets to the games next season. So already promoting it. Who knows? It could be the Hobart Kangaroos in a couple of years' time.
Hey, Sidsy, thanks so much. It's been a great chat. And obviously we wish you all the best for the rest of the year playing for Tasmania and the Strikers. I can't wait to watch the Strikers versus the Hobart Hurricanes. It's going to be on.
Yeah, well, other than beating them in a final about 4 years ago,
yeah,
we haven't had a lot of success against them since. So they're not actually a team that I think we match up that well against. So, it will be good. Thanks for having me on, boys. And, yeah, looking forward to watching Petey down there in the purple. He'll look better in purple than green, that's for sure. So, and he'll love the facilities down there. So I'm looking forward to watching him bat, not against us, though.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, mate.
That's the Bowlers Report. See you, lads.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.